Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Jesus is concluding this discourse to the disciples, again in preparation of his exiting from planet Earth not long from now. And he wants to make sure that they are clear about commandments and principles and doctrines that he has shared with them. One of the things that makes this so important for the disciples is he gives them the acknowledgement of being with him from the beginning, which makes them worthy witnesses of the work and ministry that he has done here on planet Earth in their presence. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, that is so important as you look at this last verse when he says, and ye also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning, gives them equity in his ministry, not only just visualizing it, but experiencing it as well. And one of the things that I think is so helpful is it is not only preparing them to continue their walk and continue the ministry Jesus has imparted in them, but it's also preparing them for the world that they're going to have to be the witness of Jesus Christ in. In other words, he's getting them ready for a hostile jury. He's getting them ready for a hostile opponent or opponents or those who come against the reality of what Jesus stood for and stands for. He's getting them ready because he's going back to the Father to be with him, and he has transferred his trend of thought into their thinking so that they are equipped to continue until he comes back to rapture the church and take the church back home with him. And so, my brothers and sisters, he's using words like witness and testifying. These are words out of the arena of jurisprudence because he wants them to understand beyond the physical, there is a spiritual reality that they also must recognize. One of the things you too, my brothers and sisters, must realize is that the Lord is looking for witnesses here, because the enemy who is here is trying to remove all traces and evidences of the Lord Jesus Christ and the living work that yet goes on by way of Calvary, and the souls that are saved daily, because he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And that same power is real today, because witnesses are still lifting him up. Jesus said, listen, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." What was he saying? He's saying, I'm including and incorporating the Holy Spirit into your lives so that your witness will be both pure and passionate and powerful. In other words, when you talk about Jesus, there ought to be some conviction. You ain't talking about Jesus like he's just anybody, somebody. He's everything to the believer, and the believer want to be a willing, worthy witness. In other words, something is wrong when you talk about Jesus and you don't feel nothing. If there's ever an issue, a situation, an occasion where Jesus needs a witness, you ought to be volunteering to be the witness who can identify what he's done for you, and what he's done for you, no one else but him could have done. And you can testify, "I used to be this, and I used to be that, and I used to do this, and I used to do that, but he touched me and changed me and rearranged me, and I'm no longer the same because he touched me." Anybody been touched? Some of y'all know you've been changed. And I ain't talking about just because you can't do what you used to do. You've been changed because you don't even want to do it no more. You've been changed. You know you've been changed. It ain't even in your heart no more. It ain't even in your thoughts no more. It doesn't even bother you anymore, because the Lord changed you from the inside. And so he need witnesses, because there's some folk burdened down, bothered, who are still engaged in depressions and oppressions and don't think that the chains can ever be broken. But there ought to be witnesses who can tell them, "Here I am. Grace broke every chain on me, and I'm no longer the same." And so Jesus is saying, "You will be my witnesses because you've been with me from the beginning." But what I love about this is, before he got to the 27th verse, that was the 26th verse. And he says, "But when the Comforter is come," talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy One of God, the Spirit of God, he says, "whom I will send from unto you from the Father," which at that point in time, the Holy Spirit was still residing with God in the heavens. He had not been dispatched to be on earth to serve the term as the last agent of the triune God yet. And so he was still with the Father. So Jesus says, "whom I will send unto you from the Father." Now, those of you who are Bible students know, when Jesus died on Friday and was buried and rose early that Sunday morning, he walked among planet Earth for 40 days, caught a cloud, and went back to heaven. And 10 days later, he sent the Holy Ghost down. And that's why they call it the Day of Jubilee, because in that 50th day, the Holy Ghost came down. And Jesus had promised he would send him. And he says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Yes. He is the divine Spirit of truth, whom Jesus Christ says he will send to us and has already done. But here is why he says the Spirit of truth, because he wants you to know that he is the highest form and expression of truth that God could send to the earth realm to be in man and to dwell with man, because he is the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of God in truth. There's none higher that Jesus sends to us to bear truth. And so listen to what he says. He says, which proceedeth from the Father. Now, he keeps emphasizing this because he wants you to know how worthy of a witness the Holy Ghost is. And notice what he says, he shall testify of me. Now, notice the believers are witnesses. But the Holy Ghost is a testifier. He's giving a testimony about who Jesus is. Why is he letting the Holy Ghost testify? Because he was there in the real beginning. In the beginning, before there was a beginning, the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and the Father were together. So if there's anybody who knows him inside out, who knows him from the real beginning, before the beginning was, it's the Holy Ghost. And if anybody can testify about Jesus and who Jesus truly is and what Jesus truly can do, it is the Holy Ghost. And that's one of the reasons why, my brothers and sisters, the believers need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, to have the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, to be able to do everything that the Holy Ghost needs to do through us for the purpose of Jesus and edifying the works of Jesus in this earth realm. You can't do it without Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost will take the weakest man in the house and turn the house upside down. No education, no seminary training, no ability to speak in polysyllabics, no great orator, but oh, with the power of the Holy Ghost and the rhema word from God, he can reach places that none other can reach. And that's why he says the Holy Ghost is going to testify of me. You see, you can't testify of him. You can only be a witness of what he's done. You can only tell about what he's done for you. And that's one of the reasons why your witness is so important for you, and my witness is so important for me, and your witness and everybody's witness individually is important to them, because he's done some things for you that he didn't have to do for me. Have I got a witness in the house? He's made a way for you that I didn't need, because I didn't go the path that you went. Have I got a witness in the house? He's picked somebody up that fell down and couldn't get down, and Jesus lifted them up to a place that they never could have been if he hadn't put his hands on them. Can I get somebody in the house who can witness for me? There's been somebody who's been lost that he showed the way in a different way than others of us. So that's what makes every one of our witnesses so important. Because just like he's done what he's done for you, he is willing and able to do for whosoever will. And he needs to see those who are up remembering the times when they were down. You know, every now and then the problem with the church is the church acts like they don't know where the Lord has brought them from. Every now and then the church, when God has so blessed us and kept us and brought us to new levels of life and living and given us privilege and blessings beyond all that we've ever known, every now and then we get so comfortable in the high place that we forget to get low down on our knees and say, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for taking me where only you could bring me. And Lord, I hate that every now and then the church lets the spirit grow cold. And we set up and we act like he's talking to them and he ain't talking to me. We have no witness, no amen, no praise the Lord, no thank you, no hallelujah. We have nothing to add. We just sit there like we're not even hearing what the one who stepped in our place, paid for our sins, removed the penalties from our lives, and gave us a brand new start was not even being talked about. Verse 25 backs up and says, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Listen at this. They hated me without a cause. Psalm 35 and Psalm 64 talks about Jesus talking, because this references to the Old Testament text speaking about Jesus. And what I like about the 64th Psalms, when he says this, he's talking about he has so many folk that hate him without a cause, that they are more than the hairs on his head. I told the church this morning, don't look at my head and think that he ain't talking about my head, hairs on his head. I mean, he has more haters than the hairs on his head. Why? Because he's talking about those in the world who have not accepted him, who have not received him, and who do not know him as Savior and Lord. But you back up to verse 24. And he says, if he had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now listen to Jesus talking about this. And I might as well tell you, I'm gonna walk through this in review, because some of y'all missed some Sundays and missed some of this. So I'm gonna just walk through it to help you realize what Jesus is making us witnesses to as he was speaking to the disciples and refreshing them and reminding them of what they were to be prepared to be witnesses of. He was saying, listen, because he did the works that he did, the world does not have an excuse, because these people would not have been considered sinners if he had not done the works. Well, what are the works he's referring to? Every work that Jesus did to bring the knowledge, the saving knowledge of himself and his mission and his ministry to men here on earth from the Father, to bring them back into right relationship with God, that they may have life eternal. And he made it clear, in essence, if anybody is lost at this point, it is lost because they would not receive what he has brought to them through his works. Then verse 23 says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Now I'm backing up through so that you could see it from the end going back to the beginning, because this intensity he's using is so that we can understand these last principles on his way to Calvary. He's telling the disciples what is most important on his heart and getting them ready so that they will be successful in ministry and successful in the things of the kingdom and be some of the best witnesses this world will ever know concerning Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Jesus is making clear that the world hates him because the world hates God. Jesus had sense enough to know that this really wasn't all about him. It was really about his Father, his structure, his standard, and all that he has put in place as righteous and holy. And those who are unrighteous and unholy do not like a holy God, nor do they like the holy principles by which a holy God calls us to live by. And so because if we have not accepted him, we don't want his Son, who is the express image of him, who reminds us of what he said. In this 15th chapter, Jesus refers to his Father in one manner or another. He either taught about his Father, he either talked about his Father, or he either thought of his Father in this whole discourse. That's because he loved his Father. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you look at that, he goes back in the 21st verse and says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. What is that saying? Well, if I would not have come down from heaven to earth and taught them and preached to them and ministered to them and spoke to them and corrected them and shared with them, they would have no reason to be called sinners. But now that I've told them and shown them a more excellent way, if they don't accept my way, they have no longer an excuse. Listen at this. He says, this is so important, that's verse 22. Verse 21 says, but listen, he says, all these things will they do unto you because, for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. When he told them that in verse 22, he came to make it clear to them so that they wouldn't have an excuse, he tells us that all of these things they're going to do to you. Why? Because verse 20 is in the text. Verse 20 says, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Listen, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Well, why does Jesus say that? Because verse 19 is in the verse. Ye are not of the world. Ye are not of the world. Why does Jesus want them to know? If the world, listen, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Listen to what he says. Therefore, the world hateth you. The world hateth. Not the world hates you. The world hateth you. In other words, you ought to keep doing things every day, all the time, that makes the world keep on hating you because you remind them so much of Jesus. They ought to hate you more, talk about you more, can't stand you more every day because you look more and more like Jesus. You sound more and more like Jesus. You walk more and more like Jesus. You're touching things and changing them just like Jesus. You're casting out demons just like y'all not talking to me yet. You're laying hands on the sick and they're recovering just like Jesus. The world ought to hate you more and more. Because Jesus says, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my sayings, they'll keep yours. Why? Because the servant is not greater than the Lord. And verse 18 says, listen, if the world hates you, this is where he started all of this off at. Know that it hated me before it hated you. So before you start whining, crying, Jesus, I don't know why everybody picking on me because all I try to do is live right. I pay my tithes. I do my offering. I blah, blah, blah. He said, I tried to tell you if you were listening, if they did it to you, they did it to me. And I got news for you. I overcame them and ye shall overcome them also. Dry up your tears and shut up your whining. I want you to know you are a witness.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Won't he make you?